Today, I will be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I will also be reading from the American Standard Version. And it reads, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all according as any man had need. And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread at home, they took their food with their gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved."
What a blessing it is for us to be here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests, and we're thankful for you being here on this morning. All month we have been talking about suffering. We talked about the blessing of suffering, the beauty of suffering, and this week we're going to talk about fellowshipping during the midst of suffering. When we consider some of the great doctrines of the Bible, one of the great doctrines of the Bible, of course, evangelism, edification, and benevolence. And evangelism is very important. As a matter of fact, it is the lifeline of the church. However, evangelism would not do any good if fellowship was not intact. And the reason why we say that is because when we consider going out seeking and saving the lost, we have to bring them to a place where those in whom are in Christ are demonstrating the love that they're supposed to have. You remember what Jesus said on one occasion in John 13, 34 and 35, that the world may know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. And when we demonstrate that love, that kindness, looking out for the best interests of another, those in the world will see that we are indeed followers of Jesus Christ. One reason why fellowship is somewhat difficult is because of the sentiments that we have at times, our disposition, our demeanor, our makeup, if you will. There are some people who love people, and then there's others who don't like to be around people. We know them all. Perhaps we're one of them. However, when you consider the doctrine of fellowship, it is a command for us to come together. But we're not coming together just because God has commanded us. We're coming together because we love one another. And we want to spend time with one another. And so I want us to consider the first gospel message that was preached some 2,000 years ago. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, was read by our dear brother, Brother Jaden, in a very mighty way. We appreciate that. And here we see that the church had just begun. The Spirit had came upon the apostles. They were teaching and preaching. And we find that Peter says in Acts 2, in verse number 36, when we consider this great text, "Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord, ruler, Christ, anointed one, Messiah. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' The command was to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for this purpose, the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, to all them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' But notice verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this crooked, this perverse, this difficult to deal with generation. And then verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and, notice, in fellowship. Here, we set the record straight. And many disagree, but when we consider the fellowship that he's talking about here, he's talking about the coming together of what we just did right now, worship. When we sing, we are fellowshipping with one another. When we give, we are fellowshipping with one another. When we remember the Lord's death till he comes, we are fellowshipping with one another. It is a joint participation. We're communing. When we stop and we consider this great doctrine of fellowship, we understand that God desires for us to come together and be one with him and with one another. Yet, we notice in verse number 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread, notice, from house to house, fellowship, from house to house. And as they were fellowshipping from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And notice the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We see that fellowship is vitally important, coming together. But keep in mind the theme of the month of suffering, hardship, anxieties, affliction, turmoil, whether within or without. And what we mean by that, outside of the church or inside of the church, the apostles, the first century church, went through all of it. They suffered from without, and they also suffered from within, causing great hardship. Yet, their fellowship, their joint participation, coming together in worship and meeting from house to house, aided them in the suffering. And friends, make no mistake about it. If you are out there by yourself, it's hard. But when you come together with the Lord's people, when you come together with those of a like precious faith, it seems to make things a little bit easier, a little bit more on the side of being able to bear it. So point number one, suffering saturated the church. You remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12, yea, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. They're going to go through some hard times. As a matter of fact, Peter would say in 1 Peter 4, verse number 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. You know, it is a blessing to suffer. And we talked about that for the first 2 weeks of this month, that it is a blessing to go through affliction. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse number 71, it is good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. It's good to go through some trouble every now and then. It keeps us humble. It keeps us going to the source, which is God. Yet, we understand that the suffering that comes from us emotionally, also, we have to deal with. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 26, if one member suffers, we suffer with it. If one member is happy, we are happy with it. We rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. But turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. I want us to take notice that the suffering that we deal with at times is not just spiritual. It's not just those who are afflicting us from the outside. Sometimes the physical body wears down. Here we come across a man by the name of Epaphroditus. I love Epaphroditus. He's not talked about a lot. Yet Epaphroditus, according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through verse number 30, he was suffering with sickness. But he was suffering with sickness for a particular reason. Can you imagine that here Epaphroditus wanted to spend time with the church at Philippi, but he couldn't because of his sickness. Yet, verse 25, I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. This is Paul saying, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who is ministering to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Listen to this. Therefore I sent him more eagerly that when you see him again, you may rejoice. Notice the fellowship. They heard that he was sick, and now he's with us. He's gotten better, and because of his influence in their life, they was going to be happy. But notice, verse number 30, because for the work of Christ, he came close to death. Brother Brian, did you see that? The reason why he was so sick, the reason why his body was breaking down, was because he was working hard for the Lord. Can you imagine overworking because you're always working for God, not taking a break? How many of us can say that? How many of us can say that our bodies are breaking down because we're working hard for the Lord? We're burning the candle on both ends of the stick. You ever heard of that one? Sometimes we're burning the candle on both ends of the stick because of working and because of things that are not the work of the Lord. But here the Epaphroditus was burning the candle on both ends of the stick because of the work of the Lord, not regarding his own life to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Epaphroditus was sick because of the work of the Lord. His fellowshipping with the brethren was so important. His preaching the gospel was vitally important. And friends, we need to keep that in mind, that at times, those of us who are working hard for the Lord, we're burning the candle on both ends of the stick. The reason why is because we want to do that which is right before God. And fellowshipping with the brethren, sometimes it's work. It's work. And it's work because it takes upon your mental state and your emotional state and your physical state. It carries all of the body, and it takes all of you in order for that to happen. But notice 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 14. There's some suffering at times because of misdirection in life. I was talking to a good brother just the other day, and we was talking about another brother that was feeble-minded. He was suffering because of distress that's in his life because of not making good decisions. You know, sometimes that happens to us. Sometimes it happens to us that we're not making good spiritual decisions, and it brings upon suffering upon our lives. Yet, when we consider the fellowship that we need to have one with another, and we are fellowshipping one with another who are spiritual, it begins to help us to have some type of direction. Here, Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 14, now we exhort you, we encourage you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Notice this, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. But notice, uphold the weak, the feeble-minded, those who are lacking direction. Sometimes we don't lack direction. Sometimes we lack direction, rather. Friends, we need to have direction, and God has given us his direction in his word. Do you know that when we are in his word, we are fellowshipping with God? We're fellowshipping with God. So Paul suffered. He suffered because of the cross. He suffered at times because of hunger, Philippians 4 and verse number 12. Yet, we suffer with Christ. And when we suffer with Christ, one day we will reign with Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 12. Number two, the fellowship in the midst of suffering. When we consider the fellowship in the midst of suffering, the church must practice fellowship. All of us are struggling with something. All of us are dealing with some type of affliction, some type of heartache, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, or otherwise. Look at Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, we come across the Apostle Peter. And as I was thinking and pondering and meditating upon this, I thought about Peter suffered on many occasions. He suffered in Acts chapter 4. He suffered in Acts chapter 5. He suffered in Acts chapter 12. Every time you turn around, the Apostle Peter was suffering for the name of Christ. In Acts chapter 4, 23 through verse number 24, we see Peter and John being arrested. And the Bible says that they were threatened. Can you imagine someone threatening you because of your Christianity? Threatening you because you are a follower of Christ? Because you're fellowshipping with the people of God? Because you are one with the truth? Can you imagine that? This is what happened to Peter and John. As a matter of fact, they threatened them. And then I love what is said in verse number 23. And then let go. Listen to this. They went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, so forth and so on. Now notice, friends, after they had been let go, you know the first thing that they did? They went to go fellowship with their brethren. This is what we ought to do. You know, when we're being mistreated and threatened because of the cause of Christ, we shouldn't go in the corner and start weeping. We shouldn't start moping and complaining. No, we ought to do what Peter and John did. They went to their companions and they had prayer and they lifted up their prayers unto God. Friends, suffering is going to come to all of us. But we have to make up our minds that we're going to suffer with one another. But why? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It is good, friends, when we stick together. Stick together. The church must stick together. And when we stick together, friends, there is nothing that we can't accomplish. There's no suffering. There is no physical ailment that we can't go through when we stick together. But friends, when you think you're out on an island by yourself, as the people of God, that's what it's going to feel like. In Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12, here Solomon, the preacher, has this to say. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. That's discouraging right there. For he who has no one to help, again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another. Listen to this. Two can withstand him. Literally, there's one version that says when two individuals are standing back to back, they're able to see the enemy on both sides and protect one another's back. Do you know, as the people of God, we ought to be protecting each other's back? Royce, I got your back. You ought to have mine. No, not stabbing in the back. I have his back. Those are two different things. Here, Solomon says something very powerful when it comes to fellowship. That we have each other's back. Two is better than one. We're in this together. But sometimes the American mentality comes up in our minds. I don't need nobody. That's a lie. God says we need each other. And no wonder the church is so powerful. When we fellowship and come together, notice the rest of the passage. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Can you imagine, Brother Brian and I know I use them a lot, because we talk a lot. But you got Brother Brian on one side and Brother Mike on the other side, and we got God together. We got each other's back. Threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, it's the same way in marriage. You got husband and the wife, and they got God, and they're together. They're together, right? But if you start telling each other to go sit on the couch, go sleep on the couch, you're going to have some problems. Fellowship is important, even in the midst of suffering. We need one another. When you're going through hardship, and friends, when I consider the New Testament teaching on fellowship, the church was going through some hard times. They knew the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They knew about that. Yet they had that outside force that was coming to try to divide them. As Peter would say in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, as it relates to this roaring lion, our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to depart, trying to divide us. And in the midst of suffering, we need to come together and be close and stay close. Stay close to the source, which is God, and stay close to the source, which is the church. In Proverbs 27 and verse number 17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpened the countenance of his friend. Jonathan and David, the Bible says that their souls, 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 1, their souls were knitted together. Fellowship. When is the last time you had good fellowship with a brother? And y'all talked about spiritual things. I'm talking about spiritual things. Things that mean something, Brother Nate. Spiritual things. Talking about the things of the world are good, But talking about the things of God is better. Things that's going to matter. Remember, the Word of God is spiritual. And that which is incorruptible is going to lead us to an incorruptible place. The Word of God is incorruptible and is leading us to an incorruptible inheritance, which is undefiled and doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for us. And friends, we ought to be doing this. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3, I love this text. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Here, God is paying attention. If you ever want to get God's attention, friends, if you ever want God's ear, as the children of God, get you a couple people and talk about God. If you ever want to get God's attention, on the positive note, in Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse number 16, notice what your Bible says. Then those who feared the Lord, those who are morally reverent, those who are excellent in spirit, those who are walking according to the light as he himself is in the light. Notice what they did. They spoke to one another. They declared. They conversed. They talked to one another. And the Lord, what? He listened. Literally in the Hebrew, he was very attentive. If you ever want to get God's attention, this is what you ought to be doing. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and meditate on his name. Literally, they esteemed him high. They valued him. They regarded him as high and holy. Notice what the Bible says. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. Can we stop real quick? Time out. Did you get that? Those who spend time with one another, talking about the Word of God, iron sharpening iron, bearing one another's burdens, fellowshipping with one another, in the midst of whatever's going on, God pays attention. God writes it in his book. God takes notice. But it's not done. On that day, or on the day that I make them my jewels, my peculiar treasure, 1 Peter 2:9, and I will spare them. Literally in the Hebrew, I will be merciful unto them. I will show compassion on them. As a man spares his own son who serves him, they will be rewarded. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Friends, did you get that? Brothers and sisters in Christ? There is a beauty to fellowship. And in the midst of suffering, we know for a fact that while we're suffering and while we're going through this life and while we're doing the will of God, we're conversing with one another, building up one another, encouraging one another. God takes notice and say, that's my son. That's my daughter. I'm writing that down. Isn't that beautiful? Question. When's the last time you had sweet fellowship with a brother or a sister and just opened up the book, opened up the Bible, the Word of God, not come together and talk about your complaints and talk about the health problems you got, but talk about God's Word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because friends, all of us have some type of issue. All of us have a toe that hurts and something that's going on. But we got to be able to look past the physical and look into the spiritual. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 17, I wish I had time to read all of it. But here the Apostle Paul, he understood, he knew how it was to feel all alone. He was suffering. He was in prison. He's about to be beheaded. Friend, this was a tough time, yet Paul says, I'm looking to Jesus. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Paul says, I'm ready to be offered. I'm going to stay focused. Starting at verse number 9, notice. Paul says, be diligent to come to me quickly. Does that sound like a man that wants fellowship? I believe it does. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia. Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. At least somebody was there. Get Mark. He's profitable for me. Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. Verse 13, bring the cloaks that I left
with Carpus at Troas. When you come, and the books, especially the parchments, bring the scriptures. I want to read them. In the midst of being in prison, about to be beheaded, Paul wanted to have fellowship with God by reading the parchments. You know, even when you're by yourself, you can read God's word and meditate on God's word, and you're always in fellowship. You always have someone there. You have one who will never leave you nor forsake you. And friends, sometimes when we stop and we consider that, he sticks closer than any brother. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith. Now notice what Paul says here. He did me much harm. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the suffering that Alexander the coppersmith did to the apostle Paul and also to the brethren? He said, he did me much harm. And so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he feels this pain, this agony, this affliction. Yet he wants fellowship. He wants to be one with the brethren. But notice his attitude. May the Lord repay him according to his work. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Can I say something real quick? You know, we live in a time today where people don't want to call out other people who are not doing what's right because we don't want to offend. But if he's not doing what's right and he's causing harm to the brethren, you got to say something. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If I'm walking in the middle of the street and it seems like I don't see an 18-wheeler coming, can somebody say, "Mike, get out of the way"? Or sit there and watch me get hit by that truck. I told one brother one time, if a rattler was slithering by my feet, would you say something? Paul tells Timothy, hey, watch out for Alexander the coppersmith. Watch out for him. He did me much harm. He's speaking out against our words. You know, when we're fellowshipping with one another, we receive that strength, that encouragement. And notice what he says in verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Listen to this. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, so forth and so on. Listen, did you hear that? Paul said, all of these things are taking place, but there's someone who didn't leave me. The Lord. The Lord stood with me. He stood by me. Point number three. Fellowship in the home helps in suffering. The best fellowship a husband and wife can have is studying the Word of God together. Talking about God's Word. Meditating upon it. Asking each other questions. If you ever want to be the best husband, talk to your wife about the Word. If you want to be a great wife, talk to your husband about the Word of God. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 is still in the Bible. 1 Peter 3 verses 1 through 6, still in the Bible. We're heirs together the grace of life. And then when we come together, we're talking about the Word of God. We're encouraging one another. We're praying with one another. Sweet fellowship. The greatest gift that a father can give to his son or daughter is fellowship in the Word. As a matter of fact, here's a key point. In Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. Here it is. There is no way to properly train up your child without fellowshipping with your child. There is no way. So therefore, when we consider fellowship, in Proverbs 2 and verse number 1 and 2, Proverbs 1 and verse number 8, Proverbs 1 and verse number 23, listen to me, son. Don't forsake the law of your mother. Listen, listen, listen. When authority is speaking, listen. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. We're almost finished. But when we consider the fellowship, even in the midst of suffering, there are hard times even in the home. Sometimes there's affliction in the home. There's anguish in the home. There's animosity in the home. There's a separation even in the home sometimes. What is going to bring it back together? Fellowship. What type of fellowship? Spiritual fellowship. joint participation. In Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, I love this. Here, what was John the Baptist's job when he came to this world? Of course, to pave the way for Jesus Christ, to make the way straight. But notice verse 16. And he, talking about John the Immerser, the Baptist, will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Listen to this. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Friends, did you get that? Well, God, what do you want? What do you want in the home? I want the father to pay attention to their children. Fellowship with your children. Teach your children about me. Show them that I love them and that I care for them and I want what's best for them. True fellowship begins at home. And friends, when we stop and we consider this, what a powerful attribute. And this is why fathers must be in the home. It's not just about providing for them, but it's about spending time with them that you can make a difference in their life and be an influence in their lives. But Brother Bono, my children are long gone. They're grown and that time has passed for me. But then find somebody else that you can help. Because we need more children exposed to the word and will of God. If not, why not? Friends, if those of y'all who possibly want to be fathers one day, make up your mind that there's no job that's going to keep me away from fellowshipping with my children and fellowshipping with my wife. And sisters, say that there's no job that's going to keep you from fellowshipping with your husband and fellowshipping with your children. Why? Because one day you want them to fellowship with God. Friends, fellowship doesn't begin at the church. It begins at home. And so we can't be too busy not to fellowship. Oh, let me go ahead and say this. Take my glasses off so I don't have to look at you. Friends, our fellowship with God is the most important relationship you will ever have. There's not a relationship that you will ever develop that's more important than God. And if our schedules are too crowded and we don't have time to fellowship with the church and fellowship with the family and seek and save the lost, then when will we have time? I've said this before. It's dangerous to hear what you need to do and not do it. That's dangerous. Well, Brother Mike, what are you saying? Make it applicable. Make it practical. I don't know what you're saying. If Little League is getting in the way, if 20 more hours is getting in the way, if your hobbies are getting in the way, if your game systems are getting in the way, then we need to do something about them because our fellowship with one another is vitally important. When a man will spend more time on his game than he does his wife, there's a problem. When a woman will spend more time on her phone than with her husband, there's a problem. When we spend more time with those things that are not spiritual than those who are spiritual, friends, we got to rethink it. Because suffering is coming. We're suffering for one thing or the other. And we live in a world today that people are suffering. And they ought to be able to see the people of God come together and say, those are the people of God. They will know that we're Christians by our love. So I close with this. Because some of us are too busy to fellowship. Some of us make excuses why we don't fellowship. Well, my body hurts. All of our bodies hurt in one way or the other. Get up and come fellowship. Because your appearance and your attendance
not just to worship. Because friends, Sunday and Wednesday is not enough. We got to see each other throughout the week. And remember in Acts chapter 2, they came together daily. And the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. Daily. And one thing that all of us have noticed, that the church doesn't meet daily anymore. But Satan is still daily causing havoc in our lives. So point four. Fellowship and application. We must be available. We have to make ourselves available. Number two, we need to talk to one another about the Word of God. Number three, and this is the hardest, we have to put ourselves in the position to be hurt, vulnerable. That's hard. The reason why, listen to this. Because every now and then we will disappoint one another. But we need to hang in there and grow with one another. Last but not least, it requires us knowing that we're stronger together than we are apart. We stop and we consider these great gems of fellowship, of coming together. And one thing I love about God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all three of them are one. And there is never a breach in fellowship with them. They all stand for the same thing. They're all going in the same direction. And they all have the same purpose. And that's to make our lives better, that we may live with Him throughout eternity. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He will forgive you of all of your sins and add you to the Lord's church, the church of Christ. And I guarantee you, you will have sweet fellowship. But maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you're a member here at Ninth and Main, and you got some problems. I know of some of your problems. That's fine. But God knows all of your problems. You have to make time to receive strength, not just from the Word of God, not just from Sunday, and not just from Sunday and Wednesday. And the reason why I say Sunday, because some don't come back on Wednesday. But from the group itself. And God, He created this church, Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, that we may work together. So let's text one another. Let's call one another. Let's meet with one another. Let's eat with one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's go to heaven together as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.